Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, welcome to Havila's Podcast. I'm Havila Cunnington. I am so excited that you're here. We are doing a really interesting series, and it's actually something that all of you guys have asked for. It's something that you guys, when we surveyed everybody, the main topic you wanted to talk about was friendship, female friendship, adult friendships. And so we're calling this whole series The Art of Adult Friendships, and we're breaking it down. So the first week we talked about, well, the five things that are sabotaging your social life. We really pulled that apart. And then last week we talked about the five truths you need to actually have great, healthy adult friendships. And then this week we're going to do a Q&A. Some of the questions that you guys posted on our socials, and you were like, we want to know the answers to these things when it comes to friendship, and we want to get those answered for you. So we're really glad that you're here. And if you like this series, let us know. Or if you know somebody who would like this kind of series, share it with them. Let them know that this is happening. Most importantly, I'm honored that you're here, that you would give us some of your time is so valuable. It is the most precious commodity, and we do not take that lightly. And so I hope today that you'll leave getting some of your friendship questions answered, to get more confident in your adult friendships, and then also to help those around you that maybe need help in figuring out how to get really great friends in their adult years. So today I'm not alone. I actually have Abby is here, and she is part of our team. She's Australian. Everyone's going to ask. That's her accent. And she's here to... Well, really to give me some of the questions that you guys had, and hopefully answer those questions with us. So welcome to today's podcast.
Yes, we're going to have so much fun today. You have all submitted these wonderful questions, and I had a little sneak peek. They are really great questions. And so, Hav, I'm excited to ask you them.
Right.
But as well, I just think you have such a great perspective on friendships. I think as a leader, just from an outside-in perspective, I see you having incredible friendships in such a high level of leadership, which I have seen to be quite rare. And so you are in such a great place to answer these questions. And I know so many of us can learn so much
from you
about friendships.
I think friendships are really scary. And to be honest, I don't necessarily like having a magnifying glass on my friendships, because I can just imagine my friends watching this video and going, she doesn't live it. That's all she believes. So I have to ignore all those kind of insecurities of, I don't know if I'm doing it right, to I'm doing the best I know how.
Yeah. And you're doing great. You're doing wonderful. Okay. So you ready for our first question?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. The first question is, should our close friends only be Christians?
Oh, you're just going to hit me with something easy. No problem. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that that is a complex question.
Okay.
Because I think it really depends on what you need. So friendship, to me, it's different than mentorship or discipleship or even community. Like a friend, the Bible says, sticks closer than a brother. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to define biblical friendship rather than just connection, right? Yeah. So I like it in different layers, the way I would see it. So there are friends that are very casual, right? Mm-hmm. And I can walk around my neighborhood and meet casual friends that are my neighbors or a friend of a friend, and we're just casually friends.
Yeah.
And then I have those that are in my life that maybe pick up my kids and bring them back, and you know, they can come over for a meal, and that's another layer of friendship. Kind of look at it like a Target.
Yeah.
And then I have a deeper kind of friendships, which are way smaller, mm-hmm. which are those that if Ben and I are in trouble, we can call and we can say anything, and they're there to help. They're mm-hmm. there to be with us in the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
And so for me personally, I look at the life of Jesus, and Jesus did this too. We think he didn't teach us all these things about friendship, but he did. The Bible says that he had the 3 that came out of the 12, that came out of the 25, and then went to 75 plus. And so that's how I would structure my life. And that's, I think, been very helpful, because initially when I did friendship, I just let everybody come into my inner world and give their opinion. And if I was going to cry, I was going to cry at whoever picked up the phone first.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that I wasn't setting myself up for success. So yeah. when someone says our closest friends aren't believers, my question would be, then they are friends, but they are not biblical friends. And that's okay. Like, it's okay. I have friends that aren't believers. I think we all should have friends on all different levels. Right. I do. I think it's concerns me if we are in the dark about other people's lives and the culture and all that stuff. But once you became believers, you have a different set of core values, a different set of belief systems, a different moral, right? A moral standard in which you live.
Yeah.
And so friends that you love, adore, laugh with, travel with is great, except that life is not a smooth journey. Mm-hmm. Life is not just easygoing. And yeah. There's going to be crisis in your health. There might be crisis in your marriage. There might be crisis in your finance. And we usually turn to those we feel safest.
Yeah.
And if we turn to those friends that don't have a biblical worldview, they don't have that God is for you, he's with you, he is real, then we're going to get some real wisdom, but we're not going to get biblical truth, the truth that we all kind of are, that ground us.
Definitely.
So I would recommend that maybe you don't set them to the side, but you intentionally look for people in your world that can be your biblical friends, the people you can really go to that love God and can go into the depths with you. And then I would also say it's very important that whoever we hang out with, the Bible says we become. Mm-hmm. So what we behold, we become, the Bible says. And I know there's that study that says you are like the five friends that are closest to you, you're like them. So I would do a friend audit, and I would look and say, okay, what do I get from that friend? If it's acceptance, then awesome. If it's the truth about my future, then I need to make sure that that's in line with what God is saying. So again, don't cut friendships off, but you can wean people and then be deliberate about who you're bringing into your life. Be careful. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that the enemy comes not just as this huge, you know, demonic, I'm coming to get you. He slips in. He's sneaky. And so sometimes I think friendships are usually the demise of a moral standard, a worldview of God, whatever it might be. I think it can be a place where we get most vulnerable. So guard your inner world and those that get to speak into that inner world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. And so when you choose to bring people in, what are some of like the key factors that you look for of like who is going to be coming close?
That's such a great question. So I grew up in a church. And, you know, in church life, if anybody's like watching this and you maybe are even in the South, church was not just something we did once a week. Church was a community. It was our culture. It was how we did everything. I mean, I grew up, we would go to church on Wednesday for 3 hours, and we would go to Sunday morning church and Sunday night church. And then we had youth group on Friday. I mean, it was just like all week long, we had these friendships. And what I don't think I really understood early on was just because everyone hangs out together doesn't mean they're safe. Mm. And just because we all attend the same thing doesn't mean that we all believe the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of began to understand that I was very vulnerable to over-trusting and allowing people to come into my life and not having a good barrier to say that's allowed, that's not allowed. So when you're saying, what do you do to bring them in? I think it's very important that you have, I would even have like a mental time zone of like, okay, the year mark of a friendship. I feel like if I get to see somebody in every season, then I'm willing to pull them more into my life. I think how they treat others is really important. If I'm if I'm with people and I watch how they treat the server or how they treat their neighbor, and if they are snobby or bratty or, you know, dismiss, or if they're super kind and really generous, I also watch how they talk about previous friendships, because that's such a good indicator that if someone talks about someone like that, they're probably going to talk about you like that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want people to fake it. I don't want them to say like, oh, nothing ever bad happened, but I do want them to be honest. And so then I start to have these kind of parameters that allow them to come closer. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think I do a lot of research. I let them hang out with us in very low stake environments. And then the inner circle people, lean and mean, I don't have a lot of people that get in that space, partly because I don't always have the time to vet people, but also I also want to be the same type of friend. And so if I just pull people in to help me or get in the trenches with me, then I can't contribute to them.
That's
so
great.
My weakness has been is that I have felt that people, I owed them friendship.
Mm.
rather than wanted to be the friend. And I got in trouble doing that because there was already this weird ecosystem in the friendship of, I would not call you a friend, or I don't think we would be friends, but I owe you friendship because I want you to think I'm inclusive. I want you to think that I love everybody. And then all of a sudden I am feeling unsafe in my space because I went into like a shame or blame of, I need to be there for that person rather than saying, is this what I need right now? And am I what they need? And be honest about that.
Wow. I love one of the things that you said about how they treat other people. I think for me, that is so key as well. When I look at some of my close friends and the way I chose them is because I see the way they act outside and I'm like, wow. And I'm in awe of like, oh my goodness, I need that in my life. I need that example. I need that person to drive me to do the same in other situations. And so I think that is a really good point.
And I think that's what you're saying is, if you don't know how to do friendship, watch somebody who's good at it and mimic what they do.
Yes.
And that's what I had to really learn. And we could talk more about that, but that was a big learning curve for me.
Yes, definitely. I look to my husband a lot because he does friendship so well. And so he is constantly my example of how to do friendship well. Because he is very natural, but he's also so intentional and he has reaped the harvest of incredible friends from his intentionality and his vulnerability and his honesty. And so for
which
me,
which is so, like, rare in a guy too, to do that.
And so it's true. I think learning from other people and watching them, how they do friendship from someone you admire, is so important. And it's key because it helps you identify the areas in which you're not maybe the strongest in, or what That's you can right. grow in, or, and it just pushes you further into deeper friendships.
I love that. Go Ben.
I love that.
She has her own Ben. That's why I'm saying go Ben.
Okay. You ready for question two? How do you manage unintentional hurt within a healthy friendship?
The hurt word. Let's go back. I think we can all go back to the friend wound. For me, I remember, you know, I grew up in a home that only had a sister.
Yeah.
So it was all feminine in my home. And her and I were best friends or enemies, like either, and it could happen in the same 24 hours. It was, we loved each other or we were each other's worst enemies. And I remember in grade school and in high school making these declarations, like, I only hang out with guys. You know, guys are easy, girls are complicated. And I wasn't lying. Like, it's true. Girls were complicated. There's a lot of drama. And I tended to be more in that space with guys. It felt more comfortable. This is crazy. In high school, I used to say, I want to have 5 boys in my life. I used to say all the time, I want 5 sons or 5 boys. I don't think I said sons, 5 guys. Well, and now I look back, I live with 5 guys. So I would say, watch happens. What you speak, because it can happen. But I would say I did not go into friendships feeling very confident.
Okay.
Because I think in my early years, I was blindsided by what I thought I was giving out to what somebody was perceiving.
Yeah.
And then also the demand of a friend was always shocking to me. Like, there's somebody that I was just giving all this time to, and then they would say they felt betrayed because I wasn't. Yeah. Now, as I've gotten older, like decades later, I know, oh no, that was an unhealthy part to them that wanted me to be their person and I wasn't their person or whatever. So as I began to grow, I really started to intentionally pull friends in. And it was simply in the way that we did it was, we'll do a small group at our house and we'll let people show up and we'll just do life together. We'll have a meal together. Our kids can roam around. Well, fast forward, that whole group of friends ended terribly. And again, I don't like to call people online. So I take as much fault as anybody else, but it turned into, there was a disagreement in the core group. And it started to kind of, you know how one person talks to one person, that other person talks to the next. And then you come into the room and everyone's had a conversation, but you.
Yeah.
And then you find out in the group setting that everyone's had private conversations and that what we had thought was going on wasn't going on. And I remember just feeling devastated because I love these people. I wanted to do life with them. And I was shocked that they were willing to just write us off so quickly and move on. And so when we got to Bethel, we had friends. I've had lifelong friends, but I'm talking about a group of friendships. I started to really go into that. And this friendship group that I'm currently in, and I call it group, I don't like the exclusivity, but I was at a place where I knew I wanted a unique friend group. Like, I wanted to pull in friends that could be with us. And I saw one of the demise of leaders, especially women in leadership, they don't have a close friendship. Mm. They have girls that are around them that are friends, but they're really spiritual daughters or they're fangirls or they're, and I thought that's not going to be good for me. Like yeah. I actually need to be with people that are not enamored by me, are irritated by some of the things I say, that will call me out, that will demand that yeah. I be stay who I am, true and real. And so I made a decision almost 9 years ago to join this little small group of women. Mm-hmm. And it was so hard because they were not enamored by me. They were sometimes they would call me out, you know, you're always late, you know, you don't have time for us. And it would frustrate wow. me because I would think, well, you don't know what I just did. Like I went across the country and came back and you want time, mm-hmm. but they were saying, you're not showing up in the way that we need you as a friend. And yeah. I needed that. I needed yeah. that honesty. So what
Which
I found-
is so hard to hear.
Oh, it's so hard. And I, my go-to is to run.
Yeah.
So if I don't like conflict, so if someone wants to call me out, I immediately am like, they're dangerous, they're unsafe, I'm out.
Yeah.
And what I have found is I have to tell myself, Havila, I know it's scary, but you have to go. You can't have something of value that's not also can hurt you.
Yeah.
And so I've intentionally, through pain, is I usually go to a third party that knows nothing about them and I get a good perspective. Like, is this good? Great. What about this? I said this. What do you think about that? And that right. could be a counselor. It could be your mom. It could be mm-hmm. your husband, but somebody who gives you some good, clear advice.
Yeah.
And the second thing I would do is I would go straight to them mm-hmm. because I don't know about you, but specifically with women, they love drama and they loved, we all kind of like to put people on our side and whatever. I just intentionally said, I'm going to be courageous and always go to them.
Yeah.
So I would say, can I come over and have a conversation? Can I go for a walk? Can we talk? And I wasn't there to confront them. I was actually there to confront my own fear, yeah. to say, I'm not too scared if you shut me down or whatever, misjudge me. And so through that, I would say, I've had to call my own fear and anxiety about friendship. I had to call their it's bluff and say, no, we're not going to do this. And so for me, I do not allow myself to talk to anybody else about it other than the person that it's with. Or when I do it in a safe way where they don't know them. So I'd say, I guess I would just yeah. simply say, it's something that you have to steward. If you're going to have friendships, you're going to have pain. And so don't take it personal.
Yeah.
It's just what friendship is. It's going through life together.
Yeah.
That's a really long answer, but that's, that's what I think.
It is. And look, hurt, I think, comes up all the time in friendships, yes. in close friendships. If you are intentionally choosing to be close to someone, you're going to clash at some point. And so the hurt is going to come up. And I love what you said. You said the two things. You firstly will go to a third party mm-hmm. who doesn't know them, is disconnected. And then the second thing is to go directly to them.
Yeah.
And the vulnerability of bringing yes. up something to them is massive. And yeah, I love that you said like it's good for me. Like it helps me because yes. it's true. It's vulnerable to bring up something, especially when it feels like it's really small. But for you, it's like
huge.
It's on your mind.
It is.
It's like every time you see them, it's in the back of your mind, the back of your head. And you're like, I have actually got to talk to them about this. Otherwise, there's going to be that like bitterness or That's resentment right. that builds up if you don't. And so those two keys, I think.
And one other thing too is – if I'm really nervous, I meet them in public because mm-hmm. people's behavior is better in public. Mm-hmm. My behavior is better in public. And then also if I'm insecure that I'm going to get in there, my anxiety is going to get really high and I'm going to misunderstand everything they said. I usually ask if we can bring somebody with us. Yeah. Like, hey, can we meet with, and our mutual friend, can she be there? Because then at least they can say, you know, that's out of line or that's inappropriate or, you know what, no, this is what she's saying. And so I find that if your goal is to resolve something, that's always a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's somebody that. There that isn't sided with either one, but can be honest with you.
Yeah.
They're very helpful.
Mm-hmm. We actually had another question that was really similar on these lines of how do you deal with the hurt, but then share it with people without it becoming gossip? Like
right.
where does that equal balance between of processing pain and then gossip? Like, where's the line drawn?
Oh,
how
man.
Do we do that? Who do we talk to? Like,
right.
I think I've heard before when processing pain and stuff to go upwards, don't go sideways because the sideways can be
That's brilliant.
More gossip, but to go upwards into leadership and yes. to get help from that perspective. But I want to hear from you. Like, how do we
That's a brilliant thing.
Navigate that.
Yeah, I think every time I tell myself it's not gossip, but I want to tell it to somebody that I know has the power to befriend or dismiss somebody. Mm-hmm. It is. Like anytime I go, well, if I share with this person, I'm trying to get them to side with me. Mm-hmm. The moment I'm trying to get someone to side with me, I'm like, oh, there's an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
And it's the fear of rejection.
Yeah.
And so for me, I would say I love the go up. I also find that, at least for me, I have a few friends that are up, I would say, that aren't in my space, mm-hmm. but they can actually follow the story. So there are certain friends I can talk to that have been with me long enough to go, Havila, this happened a year ago. You're dealing with the same thing. Or, you know, they said this to you last time and can call me out on that. So I think that's really helpful. And for those that are married, to be honest, I think our husbands are genius when it comes to our friendships. I do. I just have watched my sons and my husband and my dad. Yeah. They are so good at friendship because they don't add the drama. So I find that I usually ask my husband or my brother-in-law when I'm in that anxious part, I actually ask them because they just take the drama out and they give it to you straight. So that has been very helpful for me. So I would say you're not sharing intimate heart stuff, but for me, my two guys that are safe are my husband and my brother-in-law, even my dad, I can go to any of them and say, does this seem weird? And they can say, yeah, she's crazy or you're crazy.
Yeah. So would you say then it's depending on who you go to, depends on whether it becomes gossip or
whether
it's
processing? Do not go to the friend group. Do not go. I'm telling you this on YouTube because here's the thing. What happens is when you share with your friend group about it, when you section off, even though you're trying to share your point, you will inherently show that person that you are willing to talk about them in private, and they will start to even subconsciously back up from you because they'll go, oh, if she's willing to talk to me about her, then it's going to come back on me, even if they don't know it logically.
Yeah.
And so I tend to also not burden my friendships with the friendship of somebody else. Like it's not fair for my friends who have to have two of us in their life to have to pick a side. Like that's wrong.
Yeah.
And so I tend to love them well by saying, I'm going to get my feedback from somebody else. But then what I often do too is I'm really honest. Like, hey, you know, I want to share something and I'll do it in the group. That way there's no like weirdness. It's like, hey, you know, this is something I was dealing with. This is how God's been speaking to me about it. And then I find if all the players are in the room, it's much easier than playing telephone with your friends.
That's great.
So yeah. And it's scary. Yeah. Like it sounds so perfect to say it this way, but it is terrifying when you think not only could you lose that friendship, but the other friendships by what's being said. So no, do not tolerate gossip.
Yeah.
From yourself.
Yeah.
Don't go that low. Don't be immature. Like treat people with respect. Don't gossip. It's not worth it. And if someone tries to gossip, you shut it down. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. My son, and this is a funny story, but my son is selling things on Facebook and but he has to use my husband's Facebook account because he's not 18. And so we watched him have this conversation with this person that was trying to buy something. And the conversation is, you know, talking about the product. And then eventually it's like, oh, I see you do this for a living. And I've always wanted to get into that. And this girl is kind of, I don't know if she's hitting on my husband, but she's definitely wanting to start a friendship. And my son, I love it. Cause literally he goes right under the, hey, I would love to get to talk to you more about this. He goes, let's stick to and it was like, what it was, I think it was a bike. Let's stick to the bike topic. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she goes, LOL. Okay. And then went cold, like just shut. And she went to buy it. But I think that is a really genius way of like straight to the point that the topic. And so what I loved about that is that he just shut it down and said, this is what I'm willing to talk about. And I think that is really great for us to do with friendships sometimes to say, you know what? They would love to hear that. I would encourage you to talk to them. And having a way that doesn't shame them, but to say, gosh, I wish I knew what to do. I don't. But you know what? I'd go to them. I trust them.
Yeah.
And so shut it down. You know, let's just talk about, let's keep it to the friendship.
Yeah.
Let's keep it to this. And
I love that. And also when we find other people gossiping with us or we do it with someone else, it actually distorts our view of that person, which is really hard, honestly, to recover from.
I
know I've had people share with me things about others that I wish did not happen because it distorts this view. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that. And so the shutting down is actually so important, not only for them to like share with them, teach them so they can learn a lesson, and to help them in their view of that person, but also for you, because it's really hard to recover when there's like,
and what's the motive
that you don't want to hear?
Right. I always say, like, if you're sharing something with me that is tragic or illegal or, you know, then my suggestion is that is so serious. We should go talk to them together. Mm-hmm. If that really did happen. Like, I mean, you almost want to call people's bluff.
Yes,
on if you're that. Saying that that's how he's treating his wife, then yes. We need to do something right now. And I find that if you kind of call people on their bluff, they go, oh, well, I mean, that's just something I think. And so I would mm-hmm. take them so seriously that they end up watching what they say.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And when someone comes to you, one of the first things that could come out of your mouth is, have you spoken to them about yes. this? And just ask it Brilliant. Straight back at them.
Brilliant, Abby. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. And usually it's, well, I don't know. You know, I don't think they'll listen. That says everything about you. It doesn't say everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't make a judgment on something they haven't had a chance to do yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's do one more question yes. before time is up. I want to hear from you. We've had a number of questions in our inbox about how do we develop friendships when you're a mom, when you're like 40 plus, like mm-hmm. adult friendships. Like, how do we do this? Because it's hot.
It is hard. The art of adult friendships is very hard. Mm-hmm. And I think it's complicated on certain levels. I think what makes it complicated is that all growing up, you are put into groups and forced friendship. So mm-hmm. like in school, you're in the same class with all your same age friends. And then you go to college or, you know, ministry school and you're with friends. Everything's mm-hmm. forced. And then all of a sudden, you're out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, if you have kids, then you have forced friendships again because you're going to preschool things and, you know, high school things and sporting events. And so you have all these forced friendships. And then to really go, what kind of friendships do I want
yeah.
is very unique. So what I would say is, and I've seen people do this so terribly, and I at times have done this terribly, is it's okay. Don't put high stakes on one person or one idea. Like, you know, I had to really realize that just because I was friends with somebody for a season and it didn't last, didn't dismiss the friendship mm-hmm. or I was friends with for a reason, didn't dismiss it. And what I find is that so many times if someone goes, I want to build a friendship, sometimes it's, I want that person to make me feel, I want to know that I've got this person I've always needed. And I would go back to asking the question, what have been your past friendships? Mm-hmm. What is your past history of friendships? And that will tell you why friendships have fallen apart and what kind of expectations you had or what ways you let people treat you, and get really clear on your core values of friendship, mm-hmm. which might be, I need them to be trustworthy to tell me the truth. It might be that I want them to love God because then they're going to tell me that God is good and they're going to help me point me towards that. It might be that they have time. You know, okay, but how much time? Do I want to be able to text them all day long? Or is it a girl's night out?
Yeah.
Or is it, we want to sit in the nursing mom's room together? What is that? And be mm-hmm. really specific with yourself. When you say, I want to hang out with friends, what do you mean? Do you mean every single night have a, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Or is it once a week? Another one is, I want to make sure I don't just get stuck with one friend, that I put all my friendship in one basket, but actually say, I'm going to diversify. I'm going to work on four friendships rather than just one. So if that person heads out, I have somebody. And then maybe it's, I'm not going to let them into my inner circle for 1 year. Mm-hmm. So I will not allow myself to give them the keys to every room in my house. I'm not going to share with them my childhood. I'm not going to share with them about my marriage battles. I'm not going to share, not yet. They have to go around the mountain a little bit and yeah. really guarding that
wow.
to see who's willing to be with you and stick around. And sometimes we think, if I show you mine, you'll show me yours. And there's this kind of weird thing in a friendship of, well, I'm doing this for you, you got to do this. And there's this payback, and it's not healthy. It's yeah. dysfunctional. And so I'm only going to share what I'm ready to share. And I want you to only share what you're ready to share, mm-hmm. but we have to have time. So I would say, make those little rules of engagement for mm-hmm. your friendships. Admit when you did it wrong. Did you gossip in the past? Did you destroy that? Did you put all your effort in one person and actually felt like they disappointed you and you felt betrayed? But was mm-hmm. it betrayal? You know, did I end up in my friendships letting go of other friendships and being consumed with one and not actually, right? So really understanding the demise of your friendships, understanding what you're looking for in a friend, and then giving yourself, I would say, if you are one of those that likes to dive in the deep end, is I would even put months, time frames. So for first 3 to 6 months, I'm going to only do this, and then 6 to 9, this, and then 9 to 12. And then after that, then we'll do, and just giving those kind of healthy parameters
yeah.
instead of when I get a friend, we talk to each other every single day. And that's just sometimes not reasonable.
Yeah.
So I would say that's really important. Also, don't write people off. Sometimes I think I need a friend who's like me. who's in the same season of life, who's doing everything I'm doing. And when I was a young single woman, 24, 25, my best friend lived down the street with her four kids and her husband. Mm-hmm. And she was about 15 years older than me. And she was my best friend. And I was able to connect with her in a way that I couldn't connect with the other women. Mm-hmm. And so if I had judged that and said, well, I need someone to be single and ready to mingle like me, that I would have missed that entire friendship that was good for me. Wow. So I would say, don't dismiss. You go, I want new friendships. Then look around. It could be the neighbor who's a grandmother, but she's just a good friend. It could be, you know, somebody that you just never would have thought of.
Yeah.
And then test the water. And then lastly, I would just say, almost like dating. You're not going to want a ring and a date the first date. I mean, a ring and a date when you first go out. You're also not going to tell them everything on your first date. Mm-hmm. Think of that as a friendship level as well.
Great.
So, you know, if you have a 3-hour date with a friend, don't expect that you're going to have a 3-hour next time. Give it space to breathe so you can kind of relax into the friendship and be honest with yourself. Like, oh no, I can feel my expectations getting high, or, you know, wow, I'm scared, but just push through that anyway.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I know. It's very helpful. And I think it's really good. One last thing. Your husband or your boyfriend is not meant to be your girlfriend. And I remember telling Ben this once. I was like, babe, I want to go to the mall and like, let's walk around. And Ben goes, I'm not your girlfriend. And I had this realization. I should have had it before, which was, oh, I'm not marrying a husband so he can be my girlfriend. That's okay. And so I think that's important too, is the disappointment I'm having with my spouse, or the expectation or whatever it might be, could be that you don't have healthy friendships. You don't have enough women in your life that are actually connecting with you, knowing you, being with you. And so everything gets dumped on this poor man who's trying to make a living, protect you. And it's just not as complicated as you are. So I think that's really, really important.
It's a good point to end on. I love it.
All right, you guys, I hope that you enjoyed this conversation on friendship. I know we had more, and we might hit some of these on socials, but thank you for joining us. We actually, at the end of this whole series, the last week, I've invited my core group to come and have a conversation about friendship. So if you're wondering, is her friends real? Like, is she really honest with them? You're going to see them be very honest with you about myself and our friendships. And so I hope that you catch that. And if nothing else, thanks for being here, and don't forget to subscribe so you can catch the next episode of this series. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.